Let's open our Bibles, praise be to God, going back to Genesis 24. And God willing, tonight, I believe we'll go ahead and close this out. I'm thankful to the Lord. I know that the Word never returns void. So I know it's encouraged our hearts, and I'm grateful to God for that. I'm thankful that, again, the love of God and the speech that's comely and the cold cups of water, I'm grateful for that, brothers and sisters. And we do need to encourage one another in the Word of God, encourage each other that the Lord's for us, encourage each other not to butter us up at all, but to magnify Christ in us. And it's wonderful to, again, be a brother or sister in the Lord that's a restorer and an encouragement here. But let's know that the Word of the Lord never returns void. It's profitable always. I am thankful to God for that. So that is our confidence, again, is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we left off last week in that 61st verse. And it says there, "And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." And I really do want us to note that as much as we've studied through this, all 67 verses of this magnificent chapter, we just have one tiny mention of the journey. I just think that's marvelous. I mean, this is a wonderful, amazing proposal that's gone out. She's going to make this incredible journey. She's going to the bridegroom. And within one verse, it mentions the journey, the longest part of the whole thing. Truly. You know, this proposal happened in a day. But it went on for all these verses because it never ends. It's continuing on and on and on as it was retold and retold. But note that the journey was just a blip. The love of God better draw us, brothers and sisters. We get caught up in the trials. We start looking at the myrrh in our hands. He's at the door for a moment, and then he's gone. Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful how the Lord brought us that wonderful Romans 8:18. What did it say to us? And we read that together. I know we can quote it, brothers and sisters. But it says so sweetly and so divinely and so absolutely encouraging our hearts in that 18th verse of the 8th chapter. And it says to us, "For I reckon," praise the Lord, "for I reckon," it's, you know, it, we count God faithful, but it's also been imputed to us. You understand that? That's given. That's who we are in Christ. It's just fact. It's just exactly what it is. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Not might be, not a maybe there, but shall be. And I am grateful to God, brothers and sisters, that there is nothing to compare. It's a light affliction. It's but for a moment. It's an exceeding eternal weight of glory that's coming. It's Jesus Christ. So you know what, brothers and sisters? We can endure the chastening, and not just endure, but by God's grace, can you imagine that we even glory in our infirmities? To be thankful, praise God. As Paul finally was settled in it, "Lord, I'm okay with the thorn. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying that it doesn't bother me from time to time. But praise be to God, it's what keeps me on my knees. It's what keeps me looking up. I know if I didn't have that thorn, I'd be distracted with something in this world. I'd be satisfied maybe with something I could do or I could perform. But Lord, the exact makeup of my life is the only reason that I worship you. It's because of the grace of God." Praise God. And that's it, brothers and sisters. We have to understand when he said we are wonderfully and fearfully made, do you realize how deep that is? That before he set a star in heaven, he saw us in Christ. He saw that. Praise God. His wonderful Son again, those that would accept him as Savior, that he would come to live in us. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. All right, let's go ahead and read from the 62nd verse, and we'll go ahead and read it all the way through. And it says, "And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is that, this, that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. How wonderful. Praise God. And I'm glorying, praise the Lord, by his Spirit with you, that, Lord, even so, come quickly. If it be tonight, how marvelous. But going back to that 62nd verse, "And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country." Now, this verse, so true, especially when we see the names and the meanings of these names in it. First off, we see that word, that name, I should say, Isaac. And Isaac, I know most know, means laughter. And I'm grateful to God that that means laughter. Because the well, Lahairoi, means the well of the living one seeing me. Now think of that. That well is the well of the living one seeing me. Now I have to think about this couple. They're well dwellers. I'm so grateful to God. She dwelled at the well. She sat at the well. She listened at the well. Lots of things throughout the Word of God happened at a well. Matter of fact, everything happens at the well if you really think about it. And I'm so grateful to God that proposal is going on at the well. And praise be to God, it's the Holy Ghost. But see, this bride and groom have been drinking at the well of seeing one another. And we'll go on with this in just a moment here. But getting back to Isaac's name. Isaac's name was given because Sarah laughed in unbelief. She laughed in unbelief. She was a 100 years old. God said that she was going to have a child, and she laughed. Yet that didn't affect God, did it? It didn't. God didn't just strike her down and hit her with a bolt and she was dead. Nope. God is faithful to his word. And God is faithful, praise God, even when we are unbelieving. And even in unbelief, brothers and sisters, the promise of God came forth. You talk about great, great grace. That's when great, great grace always comes forth, is in our unbelief. That's great grace. I'm so grateful to God for that. That's why Sarah so represents grace, even in her unbelief. Completely undeserving, God showed her great grace. And that's exactly what grace is, brothers and sisters. We have to understand that. It's unmerited favor. It's unwarranted love. It's just the way that God does it. But the promise was coming through grace alone. It wasn't going to be anything that Sarah did. I am so grateful to God this Sunday, if the Lord tarry. I'm telling you, it's been so mighty to study about Mary and what man has concocted out of that woman. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to go right to the Word of God, and you're going to see who really got the double portion. But that's just a teaser for Sunday, if he tarry, and I pray you come. But then it said there again that this was grace alone that did this in this sweet lady. And how sweet that as the grace hit her, even in her unbelief, that laughter turned truly to joy unspeakable and full of glory. That laughter changed from unbelief to a laughter of, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." Can you imagine how she laughed and was thankful and praising God? Have you ever laughed and praised with the Lord and just almost in delirium how happy you are in Jesus? See, that's real happiness, brothers and sisters. But see, that comes from great grace, again, from the well of the living one seeing me. Now, that well of the living one that sees us, brothers and sisters, you think about the joy unspeakable and full of glory when we get a vision of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the vision of the bride of Christ. See, it talks about in the Word of God, without a vision, the people perish. It talks in the Word of God, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen? Now, brothers and sisters, notice that's Paul. How shall we escape? Now, Paul knew by God's grace he was in heaven. He was already seated in the heavens with Christ. Amen? We're sons of God now. But how shall we escape? So much meaning in that, but praise the Lord, the escape of the tribulation someday. We live to that time by God's grace. There is a company, and that's of the seven churches, the church of Philadelphia. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I shall keep you from the hour of temptation, the tribulation. That company will not see that. That company, by God's grace, is that company that loves his appearing, that we see so clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17. Those are the saints that are alive. They are the ones that have been drinking at that well, brothers and sisters. I understand he comes from that well, but praise be to God, she's like him. She's drinking of that precious life, that most holy faith, drinking of the well, seeing him. And that's wonderful, brothers and sisters, because it's that vision of him. You think about those four living ones. They're like him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know these things. We know that they have eyes within. They're full of eyes within. You talk about a vision of what they have. They see him. They see him as bridegroom. They see him so much that even though they have a familiar family, even though that she is well kept and so happy to be with a godly family, that she won't even spend one more day with them because the Holy Ghost says, let me tell you something, don't hinder me, we have to go now. Amen? Now that's a vision. See, something had to happen and it transpired so quickly in her life. She was a sweet woman. She was headed to the well. Christian lady, you can see that wonderful love of the truth going to the well. That's a wonderful type in that. But it was different this time. She met the Holy Ghost at the well. She met the teacher. She met the comforter. She met the guide who will guide you into all truth. She met the one and only that could take the things of Christ and make them hers. As we read in this story, that servant had all the things of the master with him. He had it all there. The Holy Ghost has it all here for you. It's all right here. I talk to people many times during the week that'll come in. Well, how can I know that? How could I ever get into it? This is God's purpose. This is his plan. That we would know the whole counsel of God. And it doesn't happen in a seminary. Sometimes I slip and say cemetery. It's not going to come through man's mind. It's not going to come through education. If it was that, God would be a respecter of person. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. He took those little handful of misfits. Peter. The unlearned fishermen. Man, when they were there on the day of Pentecost, those ones that were educated, as they heard him speak with the tongue of men and angels, and God specifically had him speak in those languages of those ones that were watching, he said, man, aren't these unlearned fishermen, grunt workers? Wasn't this the collector of that? And come on now, you know what they were saying. Let me tell you something, the power of his might hit him. And this is the very will of God. And I'm so thankful to the Lord, brothers and sisters, just show up. He'll do it. It's his will. It's his divine purpose. That's what the grace of God is. That's exactly what the little lump of clay on the potter's wheel is. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. We are his workmanship. Amen? And I ask you again, what does a lump of clay do? Nothing. It sits there. And the master applies the water and the oil and whatever is needed and shapes that clay with his hands. Isn't that awesome? I mean, again, the simplicity that's in Christ. If we just want to see it, praise be to God, it's all there for us. But you see, these ones have a vision. These are the four living ones in type, brothers and sisters, and it's an eagle vision. They have those eyes within, Revelation 4:8. and someday they will fly away. I always love that prayer of Epaphras there in Colossians, where he said that we would be filled with, where he said that we would be in all the perfect and complete will of God. I'm so grateful for that promise that the Lord had that brother pray, all the perfect and complete will of God. We know the Lord is for us. Okay, verse 63. And it went on to say, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And I love this, and I know this is such a sweet thrill to our hearts, brothers and sisters, that could even be tonight. We're on that journey, praise God, to the bridegroom. But here comes Isaac from the great high calling of God in Christ Jesus well, and he goes out to meditate in a field at eventide. And that meditation, brothers and sisters, that you see Isaac, again speaking of the bridegroom, he's thinking about her. The Lord's thinking about us. Matter of fact, the Lord's dreaming about us. He wants her, praise God. He's anticipating that moment when she will come. And you'll notice here he goes to the field, and that field is a cultivated field. It's a fertile place. She's a fertile thing, and he's going to meet her in a fertile place. And you'll notice, too, it's at eventide. And eventide speaks of a restful time. And I was thinking again of the peace, the wonderful peace that the bride, the readied wife, brings to his heart. As it says in Proverbs 31:11, the heart of the husband does safely trust in the virtuous woman. Aren't you thankful to God? Does he encourage your heart like that? You know, the word vessel, it means a vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. I'm so thankful that the Lord can find comfort, not in me, but in Christ in me. As it grows up, that, praise God, we're become the mature sons of God, huh? That, again, like him, brothers and sisters. And it's so wonderful. I pray that the Lord encourage your heart to know how pleased the Father is. It says in the Word of God that it's impossible to please God without faith. We know that. But this is great faith. This is the pinnacle of faith. To believe that Jesus Christ truly is going to have a bride out from among his people. And she's ready and she's willing. And she says, I will go, and she will endure these things. But she's so caught up in the lover that doesn't matter what valley they go through, how deep it is, how fiery the furnace is, how many lions they see on the way, how many giants are in the land. Let me tell you something. I know this camel train is going to the bridegroom. I know the Holy Ghost, the guide, he's got it all. Praise the Lord. And that love is going to bring me on. And that's it, brothers and sisters. This is what he does, and I'm grateful to God, again, that this is his work. But I love this, how he goes out and he's thinking about her. But then, I believe, comes one of the best parts of the whole story, is when their eyes meet. When their eyes meet. That's just so awesome. I am thankful to the Lord. My mother was a romantic at heart, and we watched lots of good movies together and different things like that, and talked about a few books growing up. But this is the greatest love story ever told, and it's the greatest love story that's ever gone on. Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants you as his bride. He wants you to be his wife. Praise God. And I am thankful the reality strikes our heart like this, that this isn't just a story. This is to us. And I'm thankful that this is what God has intended, and what a beautiful, incredible, like I say, beyond any expectation, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, this is what's in the offering. But their eyes meet. And notice again, it's first that he lifts up his eyes. See, he's always first. He first loved us. He first saw her. And she's lofty to him. He lifts up his eyes. I love this. I just think how incredible she is to him. As it says in the Word of God, the woman is the glory of man. And this precious one is so glorious, brothers and sisters. And you talk about looking up. Someday she's going to descend from heaven having the glory of God and her light. And you'll see that in Revelation 21 very clearly as she descends. Show me the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, here she is. Look at her. She's stunning. She's got it all. She's got the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? you talk about a heart that she has. It's all Him. Isn't it wonderful? That's why she's glorious, because it's all Him. It's all His wonderful grace. But He lifts up His eyes, brothers and sisters, and He says, "Behold." And I love that precious word, "Behold." Remember how the Holy Ghost had to say, or the servant there said, "Behold Rebekah. Behold," her family even says. And now here comes the bridegroom. "Behold." Take note. You better notice her. She's the one. She's beautiful. And you talk about a behold that's coming, brothers and sisters, as it says there in Revelation about that church of Philadelphia. "I will make known to them that I have loved thee." Come on. This is incredible stuff. I'm going to have them come down and bow down and worship before thy feet. Why not? She's got the glory of God. She's His. Christ in her has grown up to the fullest of full. A lot of times people have a hard time. "Oh, brother, that's the word of God. I'm not going to withhold a thing. I won't do it. It's too good. It's too awesome." And if there'd only be one or two or even none, by the grace of God, may we run on. Okay? Praise His name. All right. She is beautiful. And one of the sweet things about this, do you remember when we did a little study on the word camel? That word camel means beautiful. Do you think God's got this lined up? It's just, it's inside out, outside in, top to bottom, bottom to top. But we're talking Alpha Omega style, so there went my mind. It's just beyond, praise be to God, how perfect the Word of God is. But she's absolutely stunning to Him. And I think again, as it says, the camels were coming. I love that. The camels were coming. See, this was the moment, truly, that He's been anticipating even in ages past. Remember when we started this story about how they got together before they even sent the servant out, and they made the oath, and they lift up their leg, and they put the hand under the thigh, and they're making the covenant. They're making the promise. They're making the agreement. This is going to happen. You're going to go out there, and I'm going to make your journey profitable. You're going to find, praise God, that goodly pearl. You're going to go search for that precious pearl above great price. Right, is your hair standing up on the back of your head? I hope it is. It all coming together by God's grace again and again and again. I pray it is. But brothers and sisters, this is, I'm seeking those that worship me, the true worshiper that worships me in spirit and in truth. And here's the Spirit. Here's that servant at the well again, dishing out the whole counsel, the full counsel, the entirety, not withholding a thing. Do you want it, honey? Do you want it? No good. You brought that pitcher empty. That's how we start. How many times you going? Many times as I need to water them camels. And she did it willingly. And she did it joyfully. And she did it in such a way that the servant just stood there in awe. He was mesmerized by her beauty. He was mesmerized by the working of the grace of God. See, that's the amazing thing about this. This is the Godhead. They know these things. It's just like us. We look in the Word of God. We know that nothing's hard for God. We know that God is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But doesn't He just still take your breath away every time? Doesn't He just absolutely make, man, you are just so amazing? When we already know He's beyond amazing, but it's just that way. The Godhead rejoices in her the same way. We knew that this was the plan. We knew that this, the enabling, oh, it's all there. But can you imagine the thrill in that throne room right now? To think that there's people that are listening and hearing and being quickened. Though this outward man perish, the inward man renewed moment by moment. Hallelujah. Here we go. Come on. This is, you talk about a real deal. This is alive and working, the grace of God. What love. But see, this is where he waited. I'm thinking again, the camels are coming. This is when the father told him, son, it's not good for man to live alone. Huh? That's beating across his sweetheart and thankful to the Lord that this is going on. All right, 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. So again, she immediately lifts up her eyes. The vision, praise the Lord, of him. She's always looking up to the one that she adores. And I praise the Lord. See, we don't set our affections on the things of this life. We set our affections on the things above. And I'm so thankful for the things above, but the things above all come from one thing, and that's him. And every good gift, and praise God. We know we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. God, help us to thank him. But see, she lifts up her eyes. She loves his appearing. She's longing to see him. She's looking for him. And brothers and sisters, this has been a long journey. I'm sure this young lady's a little tired. But it's amazing the quickening. She didn't just slump off her camel. She lights off this camel. That's like electrified jump. Get me off of this thing. I'm done. Thank God the camel skin's off. I was just kind of thinking about that. Lord, but it's a precious, it's beautiful to him now. So I don't want to discard this. This is the, let me tell you something. I know I'm in a perfect package to win him if I'll trust him. Do you believe it? See, that's the problem with us. We're looking at one another's camels. So I want your camel. I can't get there on your camel. You heard me say before, I got my shoes. Those are the only shoes I got. It's a camel. And praise be to God, that's the camel for me. It's the one he's given. It's the perfect one that he'll finish, perform the good work that he's begun. God help us not just to be satisfied, but to thank him. And a contentment, but yet exhilarated. Lord, your truth is coming forth in our lives. But she loves his appearing. Again, she's looking for him. And when she saw Isaac, and again, I go back to thinking about how the story unfolded. And these little things that mean so much. Little things always mean so much. But see, they all knew him. The whole family always knew him as the master's son's, as the master's son. And it was the master's son's wife. There was never a name given to him. There wasn't. They only knew him as the master's son. So many people, and I'm so thankful to the Lord, know him as the Son of God. Know him as the Son of God? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's stop the chariot and go down and get baptized, son. He's my Savior. They knew him as the master's son. But she knows him by name. She knows him by the name of bridegroom. She knows Isaac. It's just so beautiful. She knows that. And that's right there in Revelation, brothers and sisters, 3:12. There's going to be a name that will be written on her that no one's going to know but her. Bridegroom. Bridegroom. The Lamb's wife. This is so preciously complete in this wonderful chapter of what God has for us. But when she sees him, she lights off. And I love to think of that, brothers and sisters. You know, when we see Jesus even now in truth, then the light goes on. The light affliction comes to pass. We see it that way. His burden is light. Amen. So see, that type of the readied wife, by God's grace, let's live that. Let's live victory. I am so glad that as my wife and I were approaching the day we were going to get married, she wasn't long-faced and sorrowful. I would have been a little worried. Honey, what's wrong? Every time you see her, oh. I better see delight, eyes sparkling. There might have been a time or two, but, you know, I don't want to just be singing sunshine when maybe she didn't feel like it. But I was hopeful that my presence would pick her up no matter. Amen? How much more so our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So, God help us, see. But see, that's the only thing that's going to really get us excited about it. is the message of the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But how much more so even in this that she lights off the camel? See, when we see him, we're going to be like him. That flesh, that camel skin is gone. When we see him, we shall be like him. And I'm so thankful that my faith shall be made whole. I was rejoicing again with Sister Betty today to think, when I see him, there's not going to be any more need of faith. I'm going to be in his presence. I can't imagine that. But praise be to God, it will be. But lights off. That means she immediately got down. And it doesn't mean that she just got down off the camel. That lights off means she was prostrate on the ground. Truly. Laying. Face down. And you think about that. The I am. The speaking of, I've completely succumbed to him. I'm smitten to the grace and glory of my Lord and Savior. I worship him. Again, I take you to Revelation. Whenever you see the four living ones, what are they doing? They're worshiping him. They worship him. They adore him. And remember the word worship, brothers and sisters, what it means? To draw nigh in fervent love, to kiss. All come together, even more and more. The line upon line and precept upon precept. And he keeps building this in our lives. Praise be to God. This is what this is. This worshiping vessel. And bowing down and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Because as we go to verse 65, she knew who he was. It's kind of like a flashback in that 65th verse from the 64th. Because it says, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I love this. She's always asking the servant. She's asking the teacher. She's asking him. She's not guessing. And I thank God that, you know, if we have a question, go to the Word of God. It's the desire of the Word of the Lord that it be revealed to us and in us, that we all would be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. See, only by his Spirit, brothers and sisters, it tells us in Corinthians, by my Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. Again, the whole family knew him as the Master's Son, but only the Holy Ghost can show him to us as the bridegroom. Only the Holy Ghost can bring forth that. Only the Holy Ghost can point out Jesus in that deep way. Do you see that? You could take this and say, okay, now we're going to just do study lessons on it in a school or a Bible kind of a literary literature, they used to call it. No. No, it's got to be by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Holy Ghost will reveal him like that. But notice as well, too, in the 65th verse, that first thing that she says to the Holy Ghost, it wasn't, how do I look? Now, she'd been on a camel for a long time. She might have been kind of rough. But she wasn't saying, you know, do I look okay? What man is this? She only had eyes for him, didn't she? See, she wasn't looking at herself. She wasn't looking at her hand. She wasn't looking at the myrrh. She wasn't thinking about the journey. Even when she got to that moment, you're going to be like him? It's because you're looking at him. You're going to be like him? You're going to see how she even disappears here in a moment. But who's that one walking in the field to meet us? And isn't that wonderful how he's going to meet us in the air? And all by his grace, brothers and sisters, just by his grace, apprehend this. Lord, I know this is my truth. This is my proposal. And Lord, you'll complete this. You'll fulfill this. You'll perform the good work in us. And the servant said, it is my master. That precious Holy Ghost, again, taking the things of Christ, ministering only of him. And I do want to take the time, because I see it's only, what, you know, 7:40 by that clock. We got hours. I'm just teasing you. People getting jumpy back there. I woke you up now. All right. But if you go to John with me in that 16th chapter, and let's just, again, I know we know these things. I'm so thankful to God, but I'm hopeful that, you know, it's like, well, I read that before. I'll tell you, you haven't even gone down the well yet to meet the Holy Ghost. You need to sit there, enjoy this, let him talk to you. How many romantic dinners do you want? I want as many as I can have. I like them. I was so grateful to God. A couple in the church gave my wife and I a sweet little treat that we went out on a dinner and things of that nature. We don't do that enough. But, boy, when we do it, it was just so needed. And it was, I so appreciated it. And can you imagine? Those things don't grow old when we're in love. But 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you. See, this Jesus speaking to his disciples. Think of that. I have many things to say to you. And they've been with Jesus for 3 years. They touched him, leaned on him, put head on the breast, all these different things. Heard him speak. Amazing. I wouldn't trade places with them for a moment. Because the one that came to Lichabarro. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you see that ministering of the Holy Ghost? He doesn't speak of himself. This precious, virtuous woman who is getting off the camel, she doesn't think about herself either. Why? Because that message has so penetrated her. It's about him. It's about him. All I want to do is see him. She didn't care about the bracelets, the earrings, all those different things. I mean, she did. She appreciated him. They were riches of his, but it was him. She loved him. He shall glorify me in the 14th verse. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show, that means announce, make known, it unto you. He's not kidding when he said joint heirs together with Christ. That's joint heirs as husband and wife. That's equal. Esther, same thing as she went out in front of that king. She was just asking to be spared of her life and her people. Know what God has given you when you go out in front of him. Great grace. Honey, you're so beautiful. It's all yours. That's really what he said. I know it says in there, is it saying half? Uh-uh. What's yours is mine and mine is yours. It's ours. That's a marriage. That's a marriage. Praise God. All right, now, going back to that sweet 65th verse, and we'll move along, but we're wrapping up tonight, so let's give it what the Lord wants us to endure here. But she even gets a little more lowly. As this precious spirit said, don't hinder me, don't waste my time, the master's son needs a wife. She's gone on this journey. She sees him. Well, he sees her. She sees him. She lights off that camel. And here she goes. Completely unseen. She disappears. It's all him. She covers herself. It's the wedding veil, sure. But it's a veil, brothers and sisters. If you have ever seen those veils, it's not a doily. Okay? It's okay. I'm not trying to intent anything here or something, okay? But it was a complete covering. She was shut up completely for the master's use. I'm his alone. A vessel only for the master's use? What do you think about that? Is it worth it? Is Christ, by God's grace, worth that? Oh, my. Set aside. This is precious, brothers and sisters. He is her first love. And I want to emphasize at this time, remember, this has all been by faith. This is the first time she saw him. The moment that they'll be wed. We haven't seen him yet. It's all by faith. How beautiful. See, it had to be the proposal. See, the master's son could have gone on a camel out with the servant. Well, here, I'll let you see him, see what you think. Oh, no. It's going to be by the message. This is going to be by the word of the Lord. This is going to be the proposal. Will you go? Here it is. By faith? By faith? Huh? And see those that mock. Well, I'm not going to move until I see him. I've heard it said many different ways. One that I have to say I grinned at and shook my head. Well, when I see him blow one of the candles out. He was a Catholic fella. I just don't know how you could not believe that God does exist. Whether it's man, I was talking to my son about that. Think about man, recorded man. From the very beginning, any culture, they're all worshiping something. Man was built to worship. Every single culture. This vessel was built to worship. Intent for one worship only, and that's the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you can see how incredible we were made. This universe, how vast it is, increasing at an increasing rate against any theory of mathematics, physics. And then to think that the statistical probability of another Earth existing anywhere in that is statistically impossible. The God particle. Oh, my goodness. The stupidity is so thick, I really shouldn't even give it the time. But this is God we're talking about. And how immense and how absolutely incredible. But again, as he said, he reveals himself in nature. And he does. So beautifully. But it's by faith. She never met him. She only knows him because he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. What do you think? Amen? Church age? Isn't that something? And think of that too. I was kind of grinning with Mother today as I was thinking, you know, there it is, the church age. Let it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what he says to the churches. And yet most of it, he that hath an ear, let him hear what he says to the missionaries. Doesn't say that, does it now? Think about that. To the churches. Churches. Paul was there in that message that Paul's gospel is to grow us up. Not a birthing message. It is absolutely necessary to be. But never left you like that. To grow up into him in all things. Just hear the word of God. Let it flow. Okay, verse 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And again, the proposal coming forth. Here it is. The response of the ages told again and again. See, the servant wanted to hear it. He wanted to hear what transpired. We heard that story two times already now. And it was going to be said again. It was going to be told again. Tell me what happened. How did it all happen? She's beautiful. Tell me what she said. Well, I know what she said, but tell me. Because she's here. I knew the plan. So she must have accepted it, but I got to know. You see what a lover this is? You see how giddy our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, if you don't see this, I hurt for you. I do. This is a love story. You ever been in love? It's so far beyond that, it's not even funny. This is how he loves us. And I love it. But this is the story of the ages. She is what all creation groans to see. That's Romans 8:19, the manifestation of the sons of God. And notice here, so perfectly, in verse 66, told Isaac all the things that he had done. Not she had done, but he had done. It's the grace of God, isn't it? See, the Holy Ghost is the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. This is a love story. I've heard our brother say many times, a love match. It's just the love of God. That's the grace, is the love of God alive and quickened in our life, growing us from glory to glory. Lord, I don't know how you do it, but you get me more excited about this. That's what this is. All the things that he had done. Words mean something. Listen to this. See, this is, we are his workmanship. She just rode. She just, again, expressed what God had already put there. As he told the servant, I'm going to make your journey profitable. It's going to be a success beyond. Double portion time. Hundredfold. The servant was even surprised, wasn't he, all the way along? This is incredible. But as he says to her, I want you to tell me all the things that he had done. The love had done. The working of the love of God did in her. What that accomplished, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. See, it's the most exciting story of the ages. And then finally in verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. He takes her into Sarah's tent. Sarah represents grace. He takes her into the house of grace, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. It begins. It begins, brothers and sisters. That's Ephesians 2:7, when she becomes his wife. The glory that shall be revealed in her, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for them that love him. My goodness. The exceeding riches of his grace. And he says, and he loved her. Revelation 3:9. All are going to know that he has loved her. And I guess maybe what encourages my heart so again is what inheritance and wealth is in her for him. Listen to those last words. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You think what a comfort this wife is to him. She completes him. Jesus Christ has not taken the throne as God and will not take the throne as God until he has his wife. Until he is complete. Until he is with the one whom will reign and rule jointly together with him. That hollowed side that was pierced at the cross, that rib that was spoken of back in the garden when Adam was put asleep and the Lord took a rib and made his wife. That hollowed side, brothers and sisters, that was pierced at the cross at his death, it's been filled. The rib portion is home. The wounded side is at his right hand forevermore. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. She's the one. And she will be his pleasure forevermore. And what a comfort she will be to him throughout eternity. Praise be to God. And even so, Lord, come quickly. Let's stand and be dismissed.